Welcome, welcome, welcome to the final episode of the Blurb Season 2. With me is Greg Baxter.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And Sarah Stodewinter. Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
Final episode.
Final episode.
Can you bloody believe it?
Can you believe it?
I've got the tissues.
Yeah.
It's going to be...
exciting.
Emotion. If you are a blurber, please... the one thing you can do to help us is just to go to the section wherever you're listening to and subscribe and leave a review. The end. No more begging from
you. No more. And if we'll leave you alone after that. We will. We won't do anything.
But if you don't, we're going to come around to your house and we're going to know who you are.
We're going to bring Big Carl.
Yeah.
Carl, settle down. All right. Smashing. Love Shall it. We get into the final blurb of season 2?
Yeah, let's do
Cannot
it.
Cannot wait. Let's do Woo. It.
Patrick Hamlin has come from New York to Hollywood to see his novel be adapted for the screen. But why does he get the strange feeling that the film isn't even being made? That it's just a smokescreen for something else? Troubled starlet Cassidy Carter is due to play the female lead in the film. But why doesn't she seem to care what happens on set? Does she know something he doesn't? Or can she help him get to the truth?
Aha!
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
we're going
whoa.
To Hollywood.
Yeah, we're going to La La Land.
Right, so we got Patrick, who's
a writer, a novel. Oh. He wrote a novel.
Yes, he did. And it's been picked out by Hollywood.
Mm. Mm-hmm. They're going to change that novel into a filmola.
You can see the money bags in his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Except he feels it's not actually happening.
No, something's happening that's a bit, well...
troubling?
Troubling.
Yeah.
And then we've got Cassidy Carter, who's a star on the rocks, it seems.
Yeah, and she doesn't care what the hell goes on set.
No.
But she might also have the answers, so that's intriguing. So let's...
that's all we got.
Dive on in.
Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Patrick Hamlin walks onto the set of his film. It feels like his film because it's made from his book. You can feel the excitement in the air. He's been waiting for 6 months for production to start, and it's finally day one of filming. The soundstage isn't quite as impressive as he'd imagined it, but it wasn't a huge budget film, and he was still excited to... be in Hollywood and see his written words come to life.
Hey, Patrick!
Hi there. Yeah, Patrick Hamlin, you are...
I'm Steve McGuinness. I'm the director.
Ah, Steve McGuinness. I just want to say I love your work. Dolphins on Mars was probably one of the most beautiful films. It's a shame you didn't get the Oscar for it, I just want to say.
Hey, got nominated, so what can you do about that, huh?
Exactly. I'm just really, I'm really honoured you're taking on my novel.
It's a great piece of work, Patrick.
Thank you.
You should be proud.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a novel about... Regency customs and love about a duke and a duchess. You know this already, but
yeah.
I'm just, you
yeah.
know. It's very, you know, of its time, but timeless.
I see, yeah. I see. We're given a small budget, Patrick, so we're going to do mm-hmm. what we can with the story, and it might be loosely based around your book, it might be loosely improvised.
What?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, you know.
Oh, okay.
We'll put some Tinseltown magic on it. Don't worry.
I read the first draft of the script. It was really, really close to the novel, and it looked really good. I'm a bit worried about the improvisation.
They're professionals. Hey, Cassidy, come over. We gotta meet Patrick.
Yeah, Steve. What's going on?
Cassidy, this is Patrick. This is the guy who wrote the book that we're doing this film based on.
You're the writer.
I am a writer, yes. It's a pleasure. Yes. Hello.
That's okay. Are you a little starstruck? That's cute.
I remember seeing you in those that last Bond film. You would, as female assassins go, great.
Thank you. That's so sweet. Listen, the makeup lady didn't come.
Okay.
So, if I just do my own, maybe that's okay.
Yeah, that'll be fine, doll.
Oh, you're doing your own, mate? I mean, this is Royd Pictures. I just thought we'd have enough money for a makeup department.
Oh, don't worry, honey. I do this all the time. I'm perfectly capable of doing my own makeup.
Yeah. She's really good.
Okay. Are you going to take me to the... Because obviously this can't be it. This is just... it's just got a chair and a spotlight on a chair.
Yeah. No, this is where we're shooting today, Pat.
It's Patrick. Or Patrick Hamilton. We'll in one go.
Okay. All right. Settle down, schoolboy.
Yes, we can laugh.
Cassidy, you go put your makeup on, and I guess we'll 10 minutes.
Yeah, sure, that works for me.
I can't wait to watch it. Yes.
Yeah, where you staying, Patrick?
It's Buddy's Drive-In and Bed Experience. Out of Route 12.
Yeah. Well, we're just down on Sunset Boulevard. It's called the Beverly Hills Hotel. Heard of it?
Heard of it. I sent one of my novels there. I mean, it's...
Well, we're going to have a couple of drinks there after the show. So if you want to follow on by, doors open.
Sure, I'll drop my bags off at the motel and I'll catch you guys there, okay?
Sounds good, Patrick.
Patrick tries to flag a cab. That takes him an hour to finally get him to his hotel. Buddy's Drive-In and Bed Experience out on Route 12. It's exactly how it sounds. It's a dive of a dump. It's a horrible motel. The signs buzzing away. And Patrick goes up to the front desk. Hello?
Yes, can I help you?
Ah, hi there. My name's Hamlin, the writer.
Yeah.
Okay, yep, sure. I'm here in Hollywood. I come from New York. They're doing one of my novels as a film.
Oh, honey, I don't need your laugh story.
Oh, okay.
Are you checking in?
I am, yes. Is there an executive suite?
I don't know where you think you are, but we have these rooms. They're all identical.
And is there any complimentary champagne?
No.
Okay. That would be great.
There's an ice machine outside.
It's great. Absolutely great. And are you Buddy?
Oh, no. No, Buddy died a long time ago.
Oh, natural causes?
I wish.
I went from the airport to the studio to here. Is there anywhere I can get something to eat round here? Is there any kind of sushi?
Oh, there is an In-N-Out Burger just across the freeway.
Lovely. Well, I'll go to the In-N-Out Burger then. Thank you so much. And I didn't catch your name because you're not Buddy. Who are you?
I'm Matilda.
Matilda.
Yes.
It's been lovely to chat to you, Matilda. And if there is any problems, I will. I'll be in contact.
Enjoy your stay now.
Thank you.
Patrick freshens up, unpacks his suitcase, deep cleans the room, and dresses for this evening's drinks at the Beverly Hills Hotel. He arrives to Suite 102, where he's greeted by Steve. Oh, hey, Patrick.
Hi, Steve. Sorry I'm so late again. It took me another hour. The cabs don't seem to stop for me, even though I'm clearly waving at them. They don't want to know.
Well, that's Hollywood for you. We should have got you a driver. We've all got drivers. Yeah, that's a shame.
Steve, honey, is there any more martinis around?
There is. I think that bartender just took a break, or he'll be back in a minute, though. So hang tight. Come on in.
Thank you. It's amazing that in your suite you have your own private bartender and bar. That's absolutely incredible.
Well, we just hired him for the night. It's a bit of a big shindig here, Pat. We've got some top dogs of the industry. Wow. We've got other directors. We've got other writers.
Is that is that Martin Scorsese over there?
Yeah, yeah, my friend Martin's here.
Is that Billy Budsworth over there by the fruit machine?
You recognize Billy? He ain't done no films for about 20 odd years. Anyway.
Steve, who is this you're talking to here?
Hey, Billy, this guy recognized you, might I just say. This is Patrick Hamlin, who wrote the book that we're filming.
Oh, don't I know it. Now, Steve, can I steal you for a minute?
You certainly may. Pat, just hang around the bar. That guy's going to be back any minute. You can grab yourself a drink.
Now, Steve,
Yeah, buddy.
This guy, Patrick, he doesn't know what's going on, does he?
No, he ain't got no idea. They've stuck him out in the drive-in bed experience right out near the freeway just so he doesn't try to come into the studio so often.
Oh, good, good. Now, we're gonna keep this a secret, which I suppose is the plan.
It sure is, yeah.
How are we gonna keep Patrick from interfering?
Just every day, we film a little bit of his book, and we'll make it seem like it's gonna be so long that he has to go back to New York and finish his book.
Okay, good, because I've got some very angry Russians breathing down my neck.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've even infiltrated the bartender. I think he's actually undercover, so don't say shit near that guy.
Meanwhile, at the bar.
Another cocktail.
I will have a Manhattan, please. It's a lovely accent you've got there. Whereabouts you from?
I'm Russian. Oh. Yes. Okay, one Manhattan.
Thank you very much. And are you recording your conversations for some reason? I can see a bit of a mic on your lapel.
Yeah, I'm a method actor. You got a problem?
No, God, no. No problem here. I'll just have my Manhattan. Lovely. It's gorgeous.
Okay. Good. I see you next time for the next drink.
It's day 15 of the film shoot. Patrick Hamlin is back on set, as he has been every day, getting less and less impressed with what he sees. It doesn't even seem like they're actually making a film. He goes to have a word with Steve.
Yeah, guys, just put it down there. Okay, yeah, all there. Okay, whatever.
Steve. Hi.
Patrick. Hi. Hi. Yes. Day 15. Okay.
I'd like to have a word, actually.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I know. It seems like you've got a problem with me being here, even though I am the writer of the book.
Patrick, let me tell you a couple of things. First thing, right? When we buy the rights from you, your job's done. You don't need to be here anymore.
Yeah, I get that. But also, it is my work. And from what I can see, it's set in the Regency period in England. So that's, you know, the early 1800s. It looks like we're in a sound studio in Hollywood with just cheap wooden furniture. What is going on here?
Oh, Patrick, you don't know my creative process. Did you see Dolphins on Mars? That book was about two fucking horses and a guy. I changed the shit out of that. And look, I was nominated for an Oscar.
Okay, Steve. Fine. I'll leave you to it. But just before I go, you've missed a spot on your nose. There's a bit of white powder still there.
That's fucking makeup!
Of course.
Cassidy Carter sits back watching the whole discussion unfold between Steve and Patrick. It's also day 15 for her. She's been on set every day. Today she's turned up drunk. No one seems to mind, but Patrick has a few questions for her.
Cassie, you don't mind me? Are you in the zone? I don't want to.
Oh,
kind of...
not at all. It's fine.
Wow, that's a really strong smell of Jack Daniels. Are you okay?
I'm perfect. How are you, Patrick?
I'm stressed. If I'm gonna be really honest, it feels like this film's not going anywhere. And
you know what? I feel that way too.
Oh, thank God, it's not just me.
No, I think everyone here knows that we're just making a shitty movie.
Well, yeah, the film may be shitty, but the source material is actually pretty top notch. Why do you reckon they're tanking? What did they do things over here that to tank? Did they make money out of tanking movies?
Well, you didn't hear it from me.
Okay.
But have you seen all of these Russians sneaking around?
I mean, I thought there was a huge percentage of Russians around, yes. But I thought this was Hollywood, you know, lots of people come from all over the world. Are you saying the Russians are involved in some way?
I'm not saying they are, I'm not saying they're not. I'm saying they're here, and there's lots of them.
Right, okay, thank you very much. You know where I'm staying. I'm staying at Buddy's Driving and Bed Experience.
Bed Experience, yeah.
Allen, Route 12. If you want to talk to me, I'll be there tonight. I've got to make a long-distance phone call back to New York. Come round and we'll have a chat. It's just a friendly. Just before you think, oh, Patrick's trying to... I'm not. Okay, I'm not.
Is there champagne in your room?
I wish. I'll buy some and I'll have it on ice for when you get there.
Oh, there's ice.
A lot outside. Yeah. Free as well. So that was the clincher.
The day ends with very little filming going on. Patrick's fuming, but heads back to his hotel room. Cassidy's asleep in her trailer until her alarm goes off and she remembers she made a date with Patrick. She gets her driver to drive her round and he waits for her as she knocks on Patrick's door.
Just a second. Oh, Cassidy, hello there. Hello.
Hi. Hi. I vaguely remember you inviting me. Is that...
Yeah, I did. I invited you round to talk about the film and the problems.
Right. Yeah.
Step on through because I think someone got murdered next door, so let's...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's why the police are coming. You can hear the sirens. I think she was a prostitute. Anyway, have a seat. I've done a deep clean already, so you can sit anywhere.
What a... quaint little room.
Yes.
Patrick.
Thank you. Before I pour the champagne, I just want to have a little chat, really, because I want to hear what you have to say sober.
Oh, but we can just open it and have a little toast, a little cheers.
All right, I'll open a cork and we'll say cheers, but that's it, okay. Hey! You can have a sniff if you want, or just a sniff of champagne.
I'll have a little sip, just a little sip.
Okay, I'll just give you a tiny little sip, but that's it. That should be all. Mm. Here we go. There's your glass. Cassidy? Oh, God, no. You're drunk again, aren't you?
Mm.
Yeah, right. Well, you're here now. I might as well ask you, what do you know about the Russians in Hollywood?
You hear the rumours, but... I don't think I've ever been part of a production where they've been... I don't know, what have you heard?
I've heard that they're putting the squeeze on someone. Matilda, the landlady who runs this establishment, she says they've got the squeeze on a couple of young Hollywood types and they're milking them for all the money they can get. I don't know how, I don't know why, but that's what I hear. And now, putting two and two together, I think it may be bloody Steve.
Just then, there's a knock at the door. Hello, I am Cassidy Carter's driver.
Oh, hello.
It's time for her to leave, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's a shame. Cassidy, is this your driver? This is your driver, isn't he?
Yeah, Sergey, I'm coming.
Come on, Miss Carter, we are going to be late.
We cut across town. We're in Steve's office with Billy and a mysterious Russian figure. They're having a meeting.
Look, we've given you all the money that we've been able to fund for this film. What more do you want?
I want more money. I know you can get it for me.
Look, it's not that easy, all right?
And that damn writer keeps snooping around asking questions.
Something's gonna get found out soon, all right? So I think the money's dried up for now.
That is not what I like to hear. People who give me bad news, I give them bad legs.
Oh, man. Look, I don't know. I suppose we could get this Patrick guy out of here. That'll free up some bare bucks that we've splashed out on him from that shitty hotel.
He's spending a lot of time with Cassidy.
Yeah.
Will she talk, Cassidy?
Oh, no. She's a one-drink wonder. You give her one drink and you can pretty much close that book.
Yeah, it's true.
Because let me remind you, you borrowed a lot of money of Russian Mafia. You lost it. You need to give it back to us by making a really shit film. Maybe I should take care of this Cassidy problem.
Well, more of a Patrick problem to me. I mean, Cass, we almost need her for the film.
Okay, how about this? I injure Cassidy. I kill the writer. Because, you know, he's written it already. We don't need him anymore now. I'll get my best man on it. Sergei, her driver.
That afternoon, Sergei's driving erratically. Cassidy's hardly buckled up in the back, and she flies from side of the car to the side of the car. Sergei's also topped her up with a couple of martini in a can drinks for the ride. As he turns down a back street, he sees a telegraph pole that looks pretty sturdy. He lines up the car and at the last second pulls the handbrake, swinging the back of the car into the telegraph pole. Cassidy's injured. The ambulance arrives. They've taken both to hospital. As she wakes up, she sees Patrick and Steve by her bedside.
Cassidy, are you okay?
Oh my God, where am I?
You're at hospital. This is St. Augustine the Immaculate Hospital.
What happened?
So good to see you awake, Cassidy. Yeah, you had an accident, I think.
How's Sergei?
He died.
Oh my.
He hit that pole and flew out through the side window, landing on his head.
Oh no.
Hey, now that you're awake, could I just get you to sign these forms? The hospital needs them for your insurance or something.
Can I have a look at those forms, Steve?
For Christ's sake, you and your prying eyes.
Hand them over.
Have a look.
My God, if you signed these, you'd sign away all of your insurance money over to this man here.
You mean when she signs these forms?
Steve!
Cassidy, you're fine. You're able to walk, you're able to talk. Just sign the fucking forms.
Steve, why are we swearing now? Let's keep our cool.
Hey, you can't be fucking cool when you're jacked up on shit, okay? You're fucking jacked, all right? Now sign the fucking form so I can get my hell out of here.
You jacked?
I'm fucking jacked.
Jacked to the what?
Jacked to the shit. Okay.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I am ripping up the contract. You are not going to be using my film any longer. You're already weeks behind schedule filming absolute... I'm going to use some French here. Dog shit. Okay. No, it's getting too much now. I'm pulling out, and that's it. That's the end of it.
Probably what your mum said. It's too late to pull out now, Patrick. You need to calm the fuck down, Pat, because guess what?
What?
If you don't leave this town or leave your film rights alone, your kneecaps may end up down your throat. Now, that's not a threat from me, but some of the other guys on set may do so.
And by that you mean... The Russians.
The Russians, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
I knew it.
Yeah, Cassidy. I'm sorry. This is one of those fucking Russian things we got going on.
Sorry, nurse. Can I get a screwdriver, please?
I'm sorry, sweetheart. We don't do alcoholic drinks here, okay?
Oh, damn it.
We've got some fresh juice.
Oh, that's okay. I've got some vodka in my bag.
Now you shouldn't have said that out loud, because I gotta take you back now. Hope you fellas are okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, thanks. I'm fine. Thank you, Jess.
Steve convinces Patrick to allow Cassidy to sign the forms, meaning the $50,000 insurance will be paid out, and that money will be forwarded on to the Russians, almost clearing their debt in one film. Back on set, Patrick... And Steve just finished another heated creative differences argument.
I'm taking my book. I'm taking my rights. And I'm taking the next flight back to New York. And the parlance of Los Angeles, go fuck yourselves. I'm out of here.
All right. Well, have a safe flight.
What's that mean?
Just saying, if you're going to get on that flight, what is it, the 410?
Maybe.
To New York?
Yes.
Yeah, well... You have a safe flight, then.
I will. And I will be seeing you in court and ripping up this contract.
Patrick takes the first available taxi, which is about an hour's long wait, back to his hotel. He packs up his bag, says goodbye to Matilda, who also wishes him a safe flight, as he waits at LAX for his 4:10 flight to New York. He goes to the bathroom, where he's interrupted by two Russian men.
Where do you think you're going?
I'm not into any of this. I just want to go have a wee and leave. I'm very flattered that you think I'm attractive, but it's not. I'm not like that, thank you.
Ha ha. You're stupid, man.
I'm just a writer going for a wee. I'm heading back to New York.
On the 4:10, yes?
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
What row are you in?
Look, I'm going to leave. I wish you gentlemen a good day and see you later.
Yes, I'll see you on the flight, huh?
Have a good wee.
Patrick boards the plane. As he makes his way down, he sees he's in row J, in between the two Russian men. Welcome back.
Nice to see you again.
Look, I know what this is about.
Do you?
I'm leaving and I'm taking the rights with me and...
No, you're not so fast.
No.
Where is your bag?
It's in the overhead compartment.
Great. I'm going to get it. I'm going to take those rights and I'm going to fuck you up.
Please don't fuck me up.
Oh, why not?
Because it hurts. I don't want to be fucked up.
Yes, but you take the rights. No, you're a very clever man. You take the rights.
I'm sorry. Keep them.
Oh, no.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Oh, you change your mind?
Yes.
You don't want to get fucked up?
No, I do. I'll do whatever you say. I'm sorry. I'll do whatever you say.
Very good.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Right, so you're going to sign these rights back to the name of Sergei Shalalankov.
Of course. Here. We've got a pen? Anyone got a pen?
You're the writer. You don't have a pen?
No.
There you go.
Thank you. There.
Right.
I've signed him.
Think we should still fuck him up.
There's going to be all these witnesses here. You can't fuck me up.
These are not fucking witnesses.
These are our comrades.
And with that, all the Russian heads turn round with their big furry hats on and stare at Patrick. Oh my god. Please. I'll do anything you want, please.
That's right. You go to Moscow now. Just then, the announcement is made. Welcome aboard, Russian Airlines. Next landing place is Moscow.
And with that, Patrick is flown to Moscow. His legs fucked up. Where he spends, to this day, writing for the Russian mob. the end.
What a way to end the series, guys.
My goodness.
It was, yeah, very Inside Number 9-esque ending where, you know, it was a bad, it was a, you know, not a bad, it was a sad, scary ending.
Mm.
It is, but... I know, I have some insider information that film actually was nominated for Picture of the Year.
Oh, Regency really? Heights.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall we give that one a title?
Yes, please. Mm. I would love to.
Okay. Always.
Keep.
Your.
Title.
Open-ended.
Bam, bam, bam. Always keep your title open-ended.
And that could be about anything, really. Yeah, that could be about this. The film.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It could be about this season 2 ending.
Yeah.
And the real title of the book is Something New Under the Sun by Alexandra Kleeman.
Ah, thank you, Alex.
Well, I'm just going to dry that tear from the corner of my eye and say thank you so much. To everybody who has joined us on this journey of season 2.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate you listening.
And of course, you too as well. Oh. Brilliant job.
Well done, guys. Very good.
Amazing. I got you back.
Got you back.
You can find more of The Blurb anywhere. And of course, on the website, which is theblurbofficial.com. Mm. I miss you. I love you.
Oh.
I'll see you real soon. I think we'll be back early October.
It's actually just a month away or so. But
yeah, exactly. About 4 weeks away. We'll see you in about 4 weeks.
And until then, think of me. I'm going to be thinking of you. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.